Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up.
Foolishness and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
Welcome back, Magnolias.
Hey.
Hi.
This is our quintessential Halloween episode.
Boo. Yeah.
Boo, bitches. We were going to sort of talk about Halloween, but for those of you that are anywhere on social media today, you know, there was a very sad thing that happened today, and we wanted to all instead dedicate this episode to a one Mr. Leslie Allen Jordan, who passed away today. So we wanted to make this episode all about Leslie.
Yes, it's a very real American Horror Story that just happened today.
Yes, it is.
Very sad, very sad.
As a fellow Southern queer.
Right?
Yes.
You know, from Chattanooga. And you know, something sad is it's been less than a year since both his mother and one of his sisters passed away. So of the four of them, three have died in a year.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I did realize that his mom had passed away. I knew that.
One of his twin sisters died right after his mother did.
So there's one sister surviving him?
One sister left.
Got it.
That's, you know, and it's, well, that's sort of a Southern Gothic thing too, because, you know, we've all known people that it seems like it runs in a pack almost.
So that's funny you said that, Dan, because the minute you were talking about that, I was like, the whole like back home Southern voice in my head said, oh, that family. Poor family.
Right. Or like, I will tell you that the Southern, where I grew up is, death always happens in threes.
Now, right.
So this has been a little a little long in the making, but honestly, when two people I know die, I'm looking for the third one and praying to God it ain't me.
So where does this fit in that? So there was Loretta Lynn.
It was Loretta Lynn, Leslie Jordan, and we got to have another Southern.
No,
queen.
We can't have that, girl.
Well, no, but we might have already
call
had
the devil.
One. No.
Don't call the devil.
No. What
That's
I'm
your
is,
job, Rick.
I got him on speed dial, honey. I got to say.
Good. Dicking down the devil again.
Uh-huh.
Star 69, darling.
So, you know what's funny about this? Because this news hit me really hard today. Because, like, unlike Queen Elizabeth or, like, Angela Lansbury, I'm like, we knew they were going to die. They old ladies, Angela Lansbury, we love you.
Yes.
But you're like 165 years old.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Of course.
You're 4 centuries old.
Most of them were 96.
And Leslie Jordan, we were supposed to have you for many more years of sunshine. Because that's what you were. You were absolute sunshine.
And if you look at any post that anybody has talked about him all day long, not one person has one negative thing to say about Leslie
Jordan.
Oh,
my God. How could you?
Every single thing they say is that he's this... I've saw comments like he's a ball of love. He is this joy that as a force of joy that walks into a room. And it's just what a legacy to leave behind you to for people to remember you as having made them laugh and having, I'm going to feel like I'm going to cry. So.
Well, I totally agree with you, Rick, because before we got on to record, I was looking at some things on IMDb and other places and the tributes that just one after another. And as you say, I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, you made me laugh. You were light. You were the light of our world. You were somebody who was really, really interesting and fun. You brought laughter everywhere you went. And these weren't not everyone that was saying this was someone funny.
Right.
Some of these people were very serious people saying, jeepers, you brought the funny.
How many people he touched in his career. So real quick, I just want to, now that we're on it, I want to talk about something that was in the New York Times today about him. And it's a quote from him back in 2020. And as we know, he's been around for a very long time, but back in 2020 during the lockdown, he kind of blew up on social media because he would post these very funny little moments of him living back home with his family in Tennessee, and especially his mom. And he would just, I think his first post, he's yelling at her, he's like, "Mom, stop yelling at me. I'm talking to my friends on online." And it's just, it's the funniest fucking thing on TikTok. It's just hilarious. Yes. But the New York Times sort of interviewed him back in 2020 after he kind of blew up. And he talked about, and I'm going to quote here, "I loved attention. I've wanted it my whole career. And but I've never gotten this kind of attention." And he said, "What I love, though, is that people that pull me aside and they say, 'Listen, I don't want to bother you, but I've had a rough go of it. I've been locked down. I've got kids. And I looked forward to your posts. And you really, really helped me through this tough time.'" And he's quoted as saying, "When people tell you things like that, you realize just how important comedy is." And to me, that makes me kind of want to tear up a little bit, because it's such, I mean, wow, to have find your second coming and life like that on social media. It's just pretty amazing.
It is amazing. So, I think that like so many people became aware of him through Sordid Lives,
mm-hmm.
and then Will and Grace, of course. But then in 2004, I saw him live in a one-man show called Like a Dog on Linoleum.
And hello.
I fell head over heels in love with him, because when he's doing his one-man show, I remember that he was talking about his growing up and his mother and his grandmother, and his mother wearing those like mules with no back, and how he called them biscuit slappers because they would slap the bottom of his.
And I love that exactly motherfucker so much. Like,
and I thought, oh my God, like, he gets me. Like, uh-huh. I see me in what he is talking right? about. This is a Southern queer coming from where I've come from. We speak the same language. So, because you're like, when you're seeing a character, you're they're reading a script. You're getting the writer or the directors. But when he's in the one-man show, it's him. And I was like, oh my, I love this man. And after seeing that show once, I went back maybe two more times. And I had to tell everybody I knew, go see this show.
I feel the same way about, I saw him in my was it My Life on the Pink Carpet, My Trip on the Pink Carpet. My Trip Down the Pink Carpet. And he tells a story. And same as you, George, I've connected with him on a different level. He's telling a story about the first time he ever went out to a gay bar, and how he is nervous and he's outside the gay bar. And I could see myself doing the same thing. And he's like, "Do I go in? What do? I don't know what to do." And he's like, "I'm outside." And he's like, then I turned around and he says that these two drag queens with hair up to the heavens walks up to him. He, what did he call him? Creature from the Hairspray Lagoon or something. And he says the two of them talked him into going inside and took him inside, and he ended up, it changed his life. And I cannot tell you how much I relate to that comment. And I knew in that moment, I mean, I always loved the man, but I knew in that moment, I was like, okay, like you, George, I see myself in you.
Yeah.
I feel seen right now. So
it was so cute, because when he was talking about going to that gay bar, you know, Leslie was all of 2 feet tall, and he was driving his mama's like Oldsmobile or Lincoln or something, you know, that you know he had to have been sitting on a phone book or 10 to be able to see over the steering wheel.
Or in my mama's world, had his 6 cushions.
Right. And he's worried about who's going to see him. You've just parked your mama's Oldsmobile right outside the gay bar, honey. Everybody's going to see you.
But they're going to think it's her.
I see. Virginia slams in white rain, honey.
Hey, Peggy, I saw your car out at that gay bar the other night.
Yes. That is too funny. He was someone who was real. I think I read some little quote from him today, and he said that, having grown up as a Southern Baptist and having lived through that judgment and having done drugs and a lot of alcohol and become clean and sober, the first thing he had to do was...
Forced clean and sober, by the way.
Well, of course.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, which is really cute how long he stayed. But what he said was, you know, he had to he had become clean and sober from drugs and alcohol, but he had to become clean and sober from his upbringing.
Yeah.
And right. he had yeah. to be able to learn. This is a man who was always funny. I mean, his first gig that was paid was a commercial for like the Air Force or the Army or the Marines or something. Serious. He was an angel.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it's like,
don't forget to register.
Right. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. That's what those 18-year-old boys need, is Leslie Jordan sitting on their shoulder telling them to go register for selective service.
Honey. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think Leslie was on their shoulder, but that's what he said he was.
On their lap, honey. Which side
hi,
of the
y'all.
Well, shit.
What y'all doing?
Say, I will say, well, shit really did become a part of the lexicon of this country.
Because absolutely. Of because of him.
Exactly. Well, shit. I just love that man. I swear to fucking God. Anyway, I did read another story where he talks about his father, and he talks about how effeminate he was. Well, you know, he tells the story that, you know, the moment he left his mom's womb, his mother's womb, he went right into her high heels and started flapping around. But he says that his father put him into a summer camp to try and butch him up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of that summer camp, they're giving out all the awards for best archery, best football player, best basketball, whatever the award was, right? And that his father was sitting there in the audience just getting smaller and smaller because he hasn't won an award for anything. And it's not until the very end where they actually give him award for best camper. And it's because he says they said this. I don't know if they said, well, you aren't actually really good at anything, but you sure made us laugh all summer. So here's an award for it. And he credits that for knowing that, comedy is probably where he should be.
Girl. So. Yeah. I mean, I see, I feel that, like, you know, if you can make them laugh,
yep.
then you can save them off.
Yep, exactly. Well, yeah,
and I think that's a very valid point, George, because, you know, oftentimes gay people do use laughter to stave off people.
It's a defense mechanism.
Precisely. And it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I do think that if some of us might not have been tortured, we might not have been humorous. It's hard to know.
Well, we would not be the people that we are.
We would not be the Queer Magnolias, that's for sure. So I am a friend of IMDb, and so I did look up.
A friend, you're a supporter. you're like in their top tier supporter level IMDb.
I'm the only Magnolia that likes IMDb. So, okay, there you have it. So
that's true. I go to Wikipedia all the time.
See, both of y'all do. So Leslie had 134 credits. Most of those were one-offs. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you look at IMDb, if you were on one show for 10 times, you only get one credit because it's right. one show. So he was on 134 different
Well, not
things.
If you look at my IMDb because
okay,
I change the credit every fucking time.
Girl, yeah. We will look at yours when you're dead.
and that's
we
can
probably
whole...
look at yours in about 10 minutes if you want to a bitch.
That's a whole nother episode about truth and not truth.
So, exactly.
Sorry, go ahead, Danny.
That's right. He had 134 credits and he was on Will and Grace 17 times. So that's both the original and the reboot. And what I thought was, wow, just 17 times.
Right.
And what I thought, Leslie Jordan was the Uncle Arthur of mm-hmm. Will and Grace.
Yep.
Because, so I looked up Uncle Arthur, Paul Lynn was only on Bewitched 11 times. So
I find that shocking, though. You've said that before, and I'm blown away by it because he's such a memorable part of Bewitched. And Beverly Leslie is such a memorable part of what. I mean, well.
I regret, honey.
I dined out on that line so much after it came out. Gin and regret. Such a great line.
There's TikTok on his TikTok because, you know, I'm a big TikToker. But there's a TikTok of him and Megan Mullally. They got together very recently and recreated that whole scene. And I'm just in love with it because she just pulls that voice right out of the fucking air. It's so good. It's so good. Anyway.
So I feel the same way about Uncle Arthur and Leslie as Beverly Leslie as I do like Farrah Fawcett on Charlie's Angels. Like, mm-hmm. I was shocked that she's only in one season of it.
Yeah.
I recently iconic. Found out.
Iconic.
It's yeah. all you think of when you think of Charlie's Angels.
Yep. Sure. Yep. Yeah. And that's such a blessing to any actor that they are remembered for something so strongly. Yep. A lot of actors over the years have complained about, oh my God, you know, I'm typecast, blah, blah, blah. If you're Leslie Jordan, you were always typecast. People reached out and said, I want a Leslie Jordan character. Okay, let's get Leslie Jordan. That's the thing. That's what he brought.
I do think a lot of that, too, came with at a point in time in his life where he's like, I'm no longer. Because he talks about, it's like, when I came to L.A., I really wanted to butch it up. I really wanted to, you know, try and make a career. And I knew that I was too effeminate in order to make that happen. And so I really tried to do that. But I feel like he got to a point, he talks about it, he actually got to a point in his career where he was like, I am who I am.
Yes.
And
yes.
The moment he got to that is kind of, I feel like when everybody said, okay, we see you for who you are and we love you for it.
Yes.
And that, like, enter Will and Grace. And that's sort of where it was. Do you remember his first television role? I do.
What was it?
So I was actually not going through IMDb, but I might have been going through some Wikipedia. And it turns out his very first television role was The Fall Guy back in 1986.
Oh, honey, how would you remember that? You weren't even born then.
I mean, come on now.
Syndication, baby. Syndication. Okay. Oh, okay.
TBS, girl. TBS.
Tubi. I don't know.
Tuberculosis? Whatever.
Turner Broadcasting System.
But I look back on that and I'm like, of course it was. I remember his fucking character from that show. And it didn't dawn on me at the time that it was him. Thank you. It's not someone that you actually remember, but I'm like, God, it was actually something that stuck out in my mind from that television show. I remember, I couldn't tell you exactly what he was saying. I just remember the character, right? I remember him from Murphy Brown. I remember him from, you know, all of these other little shows that he's, well, we have to talk about American Horror Story too, because
yeah,
come we on do. Now. Well, but we'll get to that.
Where is that?
But yeah,
I feel like The Fall Guy was on TBS between like The Love Boat and like Simon and Simon.
Simon and Simon. Oh, honey. I mean, he used to run around in those shorts.
Not Gerald McRaney.
Tell us some Dolphin shorts.
Oh,
yes.
I'm here to tell you.
Tell us some Dolphin shorts.
He fit in a pair of shorts and pants. Lord. Like nobody's business. Who was The Fall Guy?
That was Lee Majors.
Oh, okay. Thought,
also Magnum. Let's talk about Tom Selleck.
We can talk about Tom Selleck. So, you know, Tom's had a long career. We really should do a show about Tom because, hello, I used to like that look. So Leslie did a show with Vicki Lawrence and David Alan Grier and, oh, shucks, Martin Mull, I think it was.
Yes, the Cool Kids.
Cool Kids.
Ah, yes.
I enjoyed that. I thought it should have been the Golden Girls for this generation. I didn't feel like the writing was quite that obviously because it didn't last as long. I enjoyed it. I wished it had been longer lasting because I do think all of those people brought a lot of things to the table. I just sort of felt like the show wasn't sure where it was going to go, but I did enjoy it a lot. And it was a nice thing to see actors of a certain age doing these roles again, and that was fun. I know I'm almost Vicky's age, whatever, Rick.
I ain't said a word.
It's funny to me that Vicki Lawrence made such a career out of playing an old woman, and now that she's an older woman,
she wants to look
as young as possible.
Yes, I agree with that. So you know what? Another thing is, I saw Leslie several times. We talked about this a little while ago, but I saw him more in plays. I did see him on my trip down the pink carpet, but I saw him in Sordid Lives and Southern Baptist Sissies a couple of times. And Leslie was always present, and anyone that's worked with him, especially in the theater world, who've posted today have been like, he was such a cut-up. That he would always change a little something to catch you up. Yep. But he was always there in case it tripped you up. He would catch you
and bring
put
you back.
Yep. And that's a difficult thing for stage acting. You know, I love television and I love movies, but they can say cut and shoot again. On stage, you can't say cut and shoot again.
No.
You're live. And I have...
Which is why I prefer...
That's why I prefer recording.
Well, I love stage.
I hate stage.
Well, I love stage because I'm always wound up, and truthfully, I never remember whether I said any of my lines or not. Once we get off the stage, I'm like, well, I hope it went well. But I had a great time because my energy is so amped. And I
was like, wait, but that's the thing. I obsess. I'm like, well, what did I say? And should I have said it differently? What if I did it differently? I don't have a chance to do it differently because I don't get to go back and read it. Anyway, not about us.
But that's the beauty of stage. And I think that must have been, it must have been something that appealed to Leslie because he was that person who could say anything and bring it back to where it was in the room. And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, and he talks about, too, when he first came to California, you know, what was it, $1,200? His mama sewed $1,200 into his underwear. And so he was like, I decided I'm either going east or I'm going west out of Tennessee. I'm either going to New York or I'm going to California or L.A. And then he said, he's quoted as saying, I made the decision that if I'm going to be hungry, I'm going to be hungry with a suntan. And he went to L.A., instead of New York. But this stage was sort of always something that he loved. And I think to your point, I'm joking about it, but to your point, there is an energy about being on stage that is different from doing something 15 to 20 different times in front of a camera, because then it does get a little old sometimes.
Well, no, I think I'm sorry, Dan. I just want to say, I think that's funny because like all of us, I mean, well, there's the three of us and plus Leslie, who's not with us, but we're talking about Leslie. Gays from the South that are like, we want to escape our small town, and none of us went to New York. Although that's where we're supposed to go. That's where you're
supposed to go.
I always thought that's where I would go, and here we all end up in California because
I did
gay.
It for weather.
Exactly. We're gay. We're like, I can't do snow.
Yeah, I can't. No, I'm not going to do underground
because we're Southern.
Well, I went to Miami. Does anybody know when I was in Miami?
I'm going to guess.
Let me guess. Was it
88 to 99?
Yeah, that's it. But while I was in Miami, I almost moved to New York. I went to New York. I opened a bank account and all that stuff. I was going to live with a friend of mine.
Then they found her.
Well, there might have...
You can't come back to New York.
But
in Alabama.
It might have been that as well. But the thing is, it didn't work out. And truthfully, I'm glad it didn't because it New York's lovely. I love it, but it's a hard damn nut to crack.
Girl.
I mean, at least here you can move somewhere else. In New York, you can move to the gutter.
Well,
I could get up from the gutter, but okay.
But you're not wrong.
Not
about
with
that.
Them knees.
Not without help, honey, at this point.
Or that upper body strength, honey. But you're not wrong. And I've thought about this often is to me, New York is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard place to live. Mm-hmm. I love New York. I go to New York at least once a year, but I go to New York mostly as much as I can when work is paying for it. Cause then I can stay in the best fucking hotels. I can eat at the best fucking restaurants. Well, you know, to a degree, you know, you get all of these things. But I was like, to live here, yeah, it's an energy and it's a vibe. But I don't know that I have that energy and that vibe. I'm much more cut out for L.A. I like the sun. I like the warm weather. Although I complain when it's fucking hot. I kind of like it here.
Yeah, I agree. I think New York, I don't have that energy. I don't have that hunger anymore. I think when you're 20 or you're like.
In my 20s, yeah, I probably could have done it.
100% because you're so hungry. That you'll survive, but you'll like
figure
this
it
age,
out.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
if
yeah.
I am, yeah, nope, no, ma'am.
Who knows?
No, ma'am.
Maybe if I'd gone to New York in my when I was 23, 24, 25, who knows? It might be different, you know. I might be Patti LuPone. You never know.
You might even be Carrie Bradshaw,
right? I love Patty.
So, oh my God. Sorry. Yes. We have to segue for a second, George, and talk about American Horror Story NYC.
Bitch, NYC. I know.
Patti LuPone singing in a fucking bathhouse.
Doing her Bette Midler. Girl.
The fucking tiara with the antlers. I gotta have it.
All the things. Like, everybody's like, there's all this steam, and everybody's like naked, and she's just with this fucking gown covered in sequins. And this, yeah, and just singing. I'm like, yep, that's how you do it, bitch.
Fucking antler crown. Fucking lost my shit. I was like, what?
Girl.
And can we just talk about Russell Tovey for a second? Because when's he going to go to the bathhouse? I need to see him in a towel.
Well, I do want to say, though, the whole thing about Patti LuPone being in the show, because it takes place in like 1982. And in 1982, Patti LuPone was the biggest thing in the world in her career on Broadway. And now she's playing this person that has to like survive by singing in a gay bathhouse, uh-huh. which is so amazing.
All right. Sorry. We segued off of Leslie Allen Joy for a second, but I'm sorry. it was supposed to be our Halloween episode.
So, but then here is something. So Leslie was in American Horror Story several times.
Yes, he was.
I will say that. Honestly,
you're going to pull up the IMDb page and tell us about that right now.
the year of the coven, though.
Coven.
I will say that it was the campiest. It was the campiest, craziest role of that season was Leslie.
Girl, I mean, she shows up in a cape,
right? But I will say, because you guys know this, standing next to Frances Conroy.
In that wig.
You got one way. You got to go one way or the other.
Yeah, honestly, Frances eats the scenery, the furniture, the actors, the actresses. Frances eats the end credits. No. He was really good, but Frances Conroy was amazing.
Well, you got to get it pretty early in the morning to out camp.
Out Frances Conroy.
Frances Conroy, girl. In that red wig. But
that was Balenciaga. So.
Exactly.
But
so with someone who actually got to work with him in person twice for two covers of Frontiers magazine that we worked for. The first one, like, I totally art directed, and it was this cute little bakery in Silver Lake, and I was like, okay, I want red velvet cake, I want pink lemonade, and he's going to wear his seersucker suit. It's going to be so fucking cute because the whole place is yellow, and like, I was so into it. And he was so lovely and he was so nice. And he was like, can't eat or drink any of this. And I was like, oh my God, I got all of this just for you because it's so Southern. And he's like, I can't. I'm like, but I love you. And he was so lovely. And the cover got cut because Prop 8 happened the same week.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I had forgotten
about
that.
Do you have those photos though? Did they give you any of that?
I'm sure I could dig them up somewhere. And they ran with his article. He just wasn't the cover.
Right.
And then we shot him again in like 2000 and... I don't know. And then we shot him again later, many, many later for like a Christmas cover. And he was like getting gifts. And we got this really hunky guy to play like a toy soldier. And he's unwrapping the presents. And it was so cute. And he was so nice. And he's always a joy to work with. He was so easy. He would do anything you asked him to do. He was like, you want me to get up on this counter? I'll totally get up on this counter. Like, he was so lovely and easy and amazing. But also so professional.
That's what everybody says about him. He's just this force.
I remember when you were doing the covers with him, especially the first one, and you were so excited. And this was one of the times that you were art directing and being the one person who was bringing this all together. And he was so fun. And I remember you saying to me, because I'm like, how was it working with him? And you're like, oh my God, he's like the best and the easiest and will do anything. And then when you talk about, you know, do you want me to stand on this box? I think, you know, we're Southern queers. We stood on speakers and danced
in gay bars
in the South. But I do remember, George, you telling me so much about what a good time you had working with him.
That's
and
so
how
lovely.
Really wonderful he was to work with.
Didn't take a single red velvet cupcake home. I don't know why.
Because he's diabetic.
He couldn't eat them. They were very expensive.
Were they delicious, George? How many did you
have? Oh my God,
have?
I took so many
All
home.
Of them?
All of them.
She could have handed them out on the way home when their little convertible was just like a hand.
Exactly. Ugh, so lovely. What a great memory.
That is so
I'm so happy that you got to have that. Actually, I think that is quite lovely.
And if you lived here in Los Angeles, especially if you were in West Hollywood, the chances of seeing Leslie Jordan was really, really high. And I remember I passed him like a year ago, or actually probably earlier this year, and he was going to his car, and I'm like, I really wanted to stop and talk to him and hold him. Yo, talk to me. But all I said was hi, and he said hi, and he went his way, and I'm like, okay, you know, because it was like.
But he loves that stuff. He loves that stuff. And he said, he was like, I love it when people actually stop and talk to me. And like I said, it's something he came here for. So
yeah,
I think he would have embraced it. One thing very recently with him is that he apparently just bought his very first condo here in L.A. It's the very first home he'd ever bought or purchased here in L.A. And I'm thrilled, although I'm thrilled he got to have that in his lifetime. And, you know, he posted a video on TikTok about moving in and sort of, you know, some video from inside the condo itself. And I'm just absolutely thrilled that he was able to actually do that in his life. And he did that after he just got back from Tennessee and you know, waiting out the pandemic with family out there and with his mom. And so I'm just very happy.
Yeah. God bless you, Leslie Jordan. We miss you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You were such a ray of, you were not a ray of sunshine. You were sunshine.
You have brought such joy to this jaded little queer heart of mine. I can't even tell you.
Yep. Absolutely.
We were totally blessed.
We were.
So on that note, we're going to wrap up this little, it's actually been quite a joyous little episode. I mean, I think we have laughed and we, you know, I think that's what he would want.
Of course.
And we're going to wrap this up by saying, you know what, guys? This was our Halloween episode. So happy Halloween, you bitches.
Happy Halloween. Trick or treat.
Boo.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Queer Magnolias is a weekly podcast hosted by Rick Clifton, Danny White, and George Skinner. You can find us everywhere you find your podcasts. So please take a few minutes to leave a rating or review. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. If this is your first time joining us, please subscribe to receive the next episode automatically. Thank you for following us on Twitter at Queer Magnolias and on Instagram at Queer Magnolias Podcast. Or you can email us at queermagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com.